First thing I wanted to start out with was, do you have anything that we can look forward to upcoming, you know, any films or TV or anything?
Right now, no, nothing with the TV and the film. I mean, this is the latest thing I've been doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, I have different shows, guest starring on different things that I recently did that pop up here and there. I know, like, Bones just played. And
oh, I missed that.
CSI. I was on an episode of CSI.
We saw that, I think.
You saw it?
I saw it.
Last thing I saw was Cable.
Oh, okay.
That was the last thing.
Yeah, but nothing, not in the most recent, not most recently, there isn't anything. I've been busy in the theater.
Oh, yeah. So you're really enjoying this, huh?
Yeah. The theater is, like, I was realizing today, tonight sitting with them, when they play Watermelon Easter Hay, you know, mm-hmm. and it's all quiet, and I go in there sometimes and just listen, and I realize, like, how much the theater is my church.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And so, during that song, I like to sit and basically just give thanks for being around a bunch of very creative people and the opportunity to do this. And as much as I welcome TV and film work all the time, I love it. I would be in the theater every day if I could be. It's like, my mom's very religious, and it's like, if she could be in church every day, she would be. And I can't identify with that with her, but until I think about it in the realm of the theater. I grew up in the theater, and so I'm always very comfortable in the theater. And
how long have you been at this?
Theater-wise, I've been doing it since, freshman. Well, even earlier, like, you know, community theater and that kind of thing. But then by high school, I was doing professional theater in Chicago. And so all through high school, I went to an arts high school in Chicago. And they would come to the school if they were casting, you know, productions here and there in the city. And so I got the opportunity to work with a lot of professional actors early on. And I just had gained a love for the theater through that.
That's great. Do you do a lot of singing and dancing? Or?
I don't do a lot of singing and dancing. This is one of the few plays where I've done some wacky musical type, The Lively Lad I did. I played a man, actually, in that, and I sang and danced in that. And there were some musical numbers in Nosferatu, which is another play/musical that I did. It was kind of another rock musical kind of thing. But this is the most musical, rock operated music scene.
That kind of leads into a question that we had prepared for you, which is, it seems like you do some roles that seem to mess around with gender roles a little bit. Is that something that you're interested in, or is that kind of a coincidence?
No, that fell on me. I think I just have, I don't know, I think I'm a tomboy, and I end up getting cast in a lot of kind of wacky, gender, unspecific role.
Right. I'm thinking specifically of the Strong Medicine episode where you played on the boys' football team.
Absolutely. Yeah, and then even with Joan of Arcadia, there was the debate of as to whether, you know, and then I played on Star Trek, I played a third gender alien.
Yeah, that was, you know, I'm a big Star Trek fan, so I watched that show.
Yeah. I think I've always been a very much of a tomboy, and that
athletic.
Probably just comes out. Yeah, I play the competitive sports and all that kind of stuff.
Because you pulled the football thing off pretty well.
Oh, good.
Originally on Joan of Arcadia, were they trying to leave it sort of nonspecific? How long were they going to do that for?
You know, early on, I was thinking they were going to write her in as a gay character, and I was given the warning that actually she wasn't, and that she was based on one of the writers, she wasn't based on this character, but we had one of the writers and I had a mutual friend. And she was explaining to me this woman, and she's like, you know how she's so, like, guyish, but she's not gay. She's just a very, like, she's very in touch with, I guess, her guy side, you know what I mean? And so we, early on, I knew that it wasn't going to go that way.
Right.
She goes, you know, we're going to maybe lead it to be a mystery for a little while, but it's not going to go that way.
That's cool. I can really identify with that because I kind of was the same way. I was a big tomboy, you know, my whole life and everything. So I really sort of really identify with Grace. I think, aside from Adam, of course, Grace was my favorite character.
Oh.
I loved you guys together, too. So, I mean, did you enjoy working together? Because you seemed to click really well. You seemed to have good chemistry.
Oh, yeah. It was a really great experience on Joan of Arcadia.
Mm-hmm. One of our favorite things is the scene, I don't know if you remember specific scenes, but the scene with you and Adam after he tries to sleep with Joan, and you're in the biology closet, and he's just wigging out because she told her mom. And between you guys, it's just so funny because Grace is just completely appalled that he's telling her that. and he just needs advice so bad, and he's so incredibly stuttery and afraid to
trying to remember the dialogue.
It was terrific.
And he's like, "What should I do?" And Grace was like, "You could invent a time machine."
we have a friend who on the message board on our message board on the website has a banner of you two guys, and I think it says something like, "No amount of therapy will ever make this okay." So it was one of our favorite things. What do you think the third season would have been like if it had happened? I mean, was there sort of a plan for it before everything?
Oh, sure. I think that everyone was really shocked that there wasn't a third season.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the writers definitely had ideas for the third season. I feel like they were going to do a lot of good battling between good and evil. Mm-hmm. The forces of good, the forces of evil, whether that would be so blatantly God and the devil, who knows how that would all have unfolded. But I know that they were going to play that out a little bit, and I know that they had intended for the guy, I forget his name,
Wentworth Miller.
Yeah, he was potentially going to play that character. I mean, he did play it in the last episode of season
two. Last two, I think, yeah.
Yeah, last two episodes of season two. I don't know if they had intended for him to, like, just like, God had many faces, maybe they were going to do the same thing with
the devil. That's a good point, because everybody wonders how that would have happened with him getting the other show.
Right. Mm. I just ran into Barbara Hall yesterday at the Blockbuster.
Oh, wow.
And we were in such a speedy passing, but she's like, "What are you doing?" And I told her about this show, and she goes, "I'm going to come." And I said, "Great, I want to talk to you." And then we were gone. But I wonder what that woman's up to, because she's just really smart.
Yeah.
She creates a lot of cool stuff.
I think she had a pilot, but I don't...
It didn't go, and it was a great pilot, and I auditioned for it, and I read it, and it was another kind of superheroes. It was like a little bit like Heroes. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there was just, they were like going to have too many of the same kind of show on or something that they didn't go with it, but... I thought it was really well written. Mm.
Do you think they were setting up Joan's friends to be like a Scooby gang? Because, like, was she going to tell you guys, all of you,
fight along with her? That I didn't know, but although we had that very intimate conversation about what was going on, me and Joan, and that.
And then where Adam gets lost. That was terrific.
And there was a sense of, like, her opening up. Whether or not we would believe her would be another issue, though.
Yeah, that would have been fun to explore.
Yeah. Oh, there were so many possibilities.
Oh, no, it's heartbreaking. Oh, well. It's really heartbreaking. What do you think Grace would have ended up doing for a living, say 5 years down the road from the show?
I think she was aiming on journalism, in my opinion.
Poetry, yeah.
Poetry and journalism. Yeah. She was definitely in the right, but she was political, so I feel like she would have been maybe out in the, somewhere in a foreign country doing something political in journalism. That's what I always envisioned her kind of heading in that direction.
Okay, well, we'll put that in the fanfic. I kind of saw her in college as being on, like, the college radio station, too.
Sure, you never know. The NPR of whatever, of Maryland.
Pushing those indie bands that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah, probably.
Was there ever something that you wanted to do with Grace that didn't work out, that they didn't want to let you do, or...
No, they gave me so much to do with Grace. I was so overjoyed with that character because they were generous in that they were. They just did a lot of nice things for that character, so I never felt like. I'm sure there were things at the time. I wanted her to be a little bit more. That party scene that they did in season two where they got. I don't think that Grace was so straight-laced that she, but then I understood, too, there was a teenage party, and, like, and I remember fighting for that idea of, like, her being, is she a little bit more crass? Does she have a beer in her hand? Does she have a, she doesn't smoke cigarettes, per se, because we would have seen that by now, but, like, something where she was a little bit more clued in instead of kind of, and they made her a little more square all of a sudden than I had anticipated. I was like, what? But we went with that.
If you could go back to the start of season one, was there anything you would have done differently with the character? It seems like it took a while for her to actually evolve into what we came to know as Grace.
No, I think that it all unfolded just as it should have. Nobody knew. I liked that mystery. I liked that about being on a regular on a TV show, is that you get to really know your character, and then circumstances happen to you, similar to life, just a week ahead of time when you get the script. Do you know what I mean? This is going to happen. It's very exciting. It's like life in that way, mm-hmm. Where every there was some new little incident or, you know, new problem to solve. Or
I thought they unfolded it beautifully with the whole, you know, the mother drinking.
That was, I mean, like I said, I just was so fortunate. They could have, you know, they could have had me there as a just very much of a supportive character, but they really gave me a lot to work with and a lot of my own storylines, so I was very grateful.
Absolutely. You and Mike did a great job together. Remember that one scene very specifically, when they see each other for the first time after she's dropped the message on the phone and said nothing else, and they come together and they don't say a word. It's all totally unspoken between you guys. It's all in the eyes.
That was something that we would have fought more for. We loved the silence, silent moments. And the directors that embellished it, we were really grateful for. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think all actors love that.
Sure.
That what's in between the line moment.
Right. It gives you guys a lot to play with.
Yeah.
That's great.
I think they really did a good job of writing those in on that show, too. They definitely gave those moments.
And was there anything particular that you took away from playing Grace? Has it inspired you in some way playing that character?
I got a lot of on-camera experience. I mean, it's one thing to do a lot of guest stars. You like work just a week here, a week there, or whatever. But when you consistently work, you really get to learn the technical side of it, for sure. And like I said, working on the same character for that lengthy period of time, there was a lot to learn by that.
What was the character trait of Grace that is most like you and least like you?
Like me.
What part of yourself did you put into that that wasn't on the page?
I think she's worldly, and I fancy myself to be a little bit worldly, you know. No, I mean, I think that she's conscious of what's going on, and I try and do that, and I have been pushed all my life to do that, and so I felt like she's a bit of an old soul, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's not quick to judge, but she's always watching and thinking and observing and trying to understand, and you know. And then she's also stubborn and opinionated and sarcastic.
Self-aware.
Self-aware, but then there's that part of her, I think, that's very shy. Mm-hmm. And I can identify with that, too. Like, you know, as much as I love the theater, I always kind of see myself as, I enjoy most being that supportive role. I don't, when I'm the lead in something, that's weird for me. Mm-hmm. I would never turn it down, but no. I feel comfortable being like the buddy, the friend. Mm-hmm. That is, I like that.
Well, I can't wait to see you kick ass in a lead role, though.
Yeah. So does my mom. My mom does the same thing.
Was there anything that was weird about playing the character that you just really didn't identify with? Did they kind of shoehorn you into any positions that weren't really comfortable, or was it all pretty much?
We had a great crew, we had a great staff, so people made things very comfortable to work on that. And sometimes the idea, that was my first time being recognized outside of places, and it wasn't difficult, and it's always flattering, but it was definitely weird, you know? You can no longer like go screaming at the guy next to you in your car without them being like, hey. You're like, oh, I'm on the God show. Behave yourself. And that was weird. You know what I mean? Like, you think twice sometimes about what you're out doing. You know, when you see like people.
Right. Well, I really love Book of Questions, the episode where Grace has her bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
And Paul Sand is one of my favorite people in the world. Been a big fan of his since I was a kid.
Great. Oh, Paul lives right down the street from me.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, we go out to lunch from time to time. He's really cool.
Well, I'll tell him, a little girl from Atlanta used to love him on the Carol Burnett Show when she was a little kid.
I mean, I will.
I was so tickled when he showed up as your dad.
I didn't know who I didn't know what he had done previously. Yeah. People were like, Paul Sands. People would tell me, you know.
Yeah.
Paul Sands.
Yeah, I have a friend who's even older than me, and she feels the same way. She was just like, he was one of her favorite people. So we were really thrilled when
he was so great as the dad.
You guys didn't have a lot of scenes together, but you had some good ones.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
They brought him back a few times.
Yeah, I think it was at least three or four.
Yeah.
It's good. Let's see. Do you think there are any real Joan of Arcs out there, maybe?
That's such a great question, because, and I think about it all the time, because I have a very religious mother who believes a lot in miracles and all that kind of things. So, and I was raised, she talks about them as if they happen all the time, as if it's totally common, as if she's been witnessed to. So for me, it doesn't shock me to think that that would be possible. And then this really realistic side of me is like, no, that's just, no, you know, because I also have a very best friend who's bipolar schizophrenic, and I see the same sometimes fanatical things happening with that sort of religious world, you know, people who are miracle chasing, and you know what I mean, and then that, you know, that girl off her meds, you know, and I think to myself, there's really, really fine line between sanity and between insanity and spirituality to some degree. Like, you know, and I'm always wondering if there is a line at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But it's such a beautiful idea to think that, you know, God might be walking around and trying to make the world a better place.
Oh my gosh, of course. And who's to say it's not happening through the most insane, crazy wacko walking down the street? Who's to say it's not happening through that person?
Mm-hmm. We saw a guy a couple of nights ago walking down the street with a crutch and a VCR with the cord tied to the crutch, dragging the VCR in the street. I'll
like
never forget that.
That's a great image.
Somebody was talking to him.
What'd they say?
Yeah, it's like,
not?
You're
what
okay,
would your
dude?
Mom
and he
think
was like,
of this show?
Yeah, I do this all the time.
What would your mom think of this show, do you think?
I sent her the article because I thought that it articulated the satire. Mm-hmm. You know, it articulated what it was trying to do, or what Frank was trying to do when he wrote it. No, he wasn't just trying to throw a lot of tits and ass on a stage.
Right.
In fact, it's quite the opposite.
That is not what he was about.
Yeah, and so I wanted to send her that. I don't know how much she's read into it, and she's in Chicago, and she knew she wouldn't be able to see the show. She's very excited that I'm singing and dancing.
Cool.
In a musical. And then she really wished that she could see the musical, and I told her this would probably not be your favorite musical to come and see. She likes things that are pretty, Sound of Music, and she likes, you know what I mean, like...
I'm curious, in the article it said something about a 10-hour blowjob. I didn't see any 10-hour blowjob.
Because I talked about it.
All right.
it was just a choreography number where they hadn't really addressed what Mary was doing in that part. And so I was down on the ground being like, I'm here forever, giving a blowjob. And they're like, oh, no, that's going to change. We got to throw that out.
Was that going to be the opening, the very first, when you very first appear?
It was in Catholic Schoolgirls originally. I would go down on, when all the girls start going down on Joe, and I start going down on Joe, and I was like, this is completely missing the point. We're so innocent and sweet in this part. And Pat, the director, goes, absolutely, we just haven't gotten there yet. We're just still trying to place everyone. Because as you can see, there's so much happening on stage all the time.
Yeah.
It's like this collage of visuals.
Yeah.
So he just hadn't kind of gotten there yet. Yeah. You know, he's like, that's something we're going to be able to do with just you, me, and Jason. Mm-hmm. We won't need the dancers all here to figure out what you guys are doing, what's going on. So
that was one of the things. I'm sorry.
We were sitting in the front row, and it was really hard to figure out where to look first.
Yeah. Well, for me, my eyes were never. That's one of the things I was impressed with, is that even though there's so much going on, you guys did a great job staging and choreographing, and it was really easy to follow for me.
Yeah, well, that's the court. Yeah. Jennifer is great, amazing choreographer.
Absolutely. Do you have any funny or memorable things that happened to you on the show on Joan that you might be able to share with us?
Gosh, it was so long ago.
Yeah, I know. So nothing that memorable.
Like, that's... I remember...
Anything embarrassing?
The kisses were always awkward because Michael was so... young. And I lied to him about how old I was. He feel better. And then he like went and did some interview, and he was insisting that I was a particular age because I had told him that I was that. And I was always, that was a really weird part. It was me trying to hide my age all the time. And I was so scared that, like, it was my age would get out, you know. But more than anything, it was Michael. I didn't want him to be freaked out. And then I also felt like the boy hadn't, like, even really had kissing experience outside of that. So then I felt really, like, uncomfortable. And sometimes they would even just straight up give me the note. And they probably, Michael would hate for me to say this out loud, but sometimes the director would just come up to me and tell me how it's supposed to look. And they wouldn't even talk to him. Because the poor guy's like 16. So, but, and then I remember one time they said, this one's a really kind of a passionate one. So I, like, went in, I went in with tongue, being like, I don't remember if I even asked. I'm so, like, that's the theater world for you, is when people are just like, whoa, everyone's changing, butts everywhere, and like, oh, this is the makeout scene, woo, you know. And so I didn't even think about it. And then all the crew, they go cut, and the crew starts laughing, and they're like, you just mad that boy. And I felt so, like, badly and unprofessional at that, point, going, oh my God, I just jumped the 16-year-old. I don't care. You know, I think Michael's always like, game.
No, sure.
So that was kind of fun.
That's perfect.
The makeout scenes.
That's excellent. Are you still in touch with any of the folks show?
I just, like I said, I just saw Barbara. I talked to Megana Tova from time to time.
Yeah. I wish we could have seen her out here.
She is doing a movie coming up. I don't know what the movie's called, but she's in a movie that she's really excited about, which is great. And I talk with, like I said, Paul Sands. It's funny because a lot of the kids were younger than me. Mm-hmm. So we would hang out on the set. But when I went out, people always ask that, like, do you guys all hang out together? And we did from time to time, especially if there was a function that we were going to. But I was a little bit older, so I didn't, like, I would go and do other things. You know, I was, like, a good probably 5-6 years older than most of those guys.
Did you ever see Mary and Joe?
I did see. I work with the have traveled with the Heifer organization, and they do too. And I did see them at a premiere a while back. Jason Ritter, I saw, and Mariana, his girlfriend, I saw at Mariana at Good Dick. That's Mariana's movie that she wrote with Jason in it.
Oh, cool.
So Jason and Mariana play boyfriend and girlfriend in the movie Good Dick that she wrote. And I saw them during their screening, and then we helped them kind of like give notes and that kind of thing. So yeah, I see people from time to time. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty small community.
Yeah.
Even though LA is a vast city.
Right. Excellent. We only got
Amber, I haven't seen in a long, long, long time, though. She's a very busy girl, and I would love to catch up, especially. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear what she's, the certain things that she's still up to doing the writing and the poetry. Mm-hmm. I've seen a couple of her poetry.
She's got a new book coming out fairly soon.
Oh, cool.
That's going to be cool. I can't wait to get that. I think that's pretty much it. So I guess we just want to thank you for your time and talking to us. It's great.